The scripture is Ruth 1, and I'm going to read the first 13 verses. In the days when the judges ruled, there was a famine in the land, and a certain man of Bethlehem in Judah went to live in the country of Moab, he and his wife and two sons. The name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife Naomi, and the names of his two sons were Mahlon and Chilion. They were Ephrathites from Bethlehem in Judah. They went into the country of Moab and remained there. But Elimelech, the husband of Naomi, died, and she was left with her two sons. These two Moabites' wives, the name of one was Orpah and the name of the other Ruth. When they had lived there for about 10 years, both Mahlon and Chilion also died, so that the woman was left without her two sons or her husband. Then she started to return with her daughters-in-law from the country of Moab, for she had heard in the country of Moab that the Lord had had consideration for his people and given them food. So she set out from the place where she had been living, she and her two daughters-in-law, and they went on their way to go back to the land of Judah. But Naomi said to her two daughter-in-laws, "Go back each of you to your mother's house. May the Lord deal kindly with you, as you have dealt with the dead and with me. The Lord grant that you may find security, each of you, in the house of your husband." Then she kissed them, and they wept aloud. They said to her, "No, we will return with you to your people." But Naomi said, "Turn back, my daughters. Why will you go with me? Do I still have sons in my womb that they may become your husbands? Turn back, my daughters, go your way, for I am too old to have a husband. Even if I thought there was hope for me, even if I should have a husband tonight and bear sons, would you then wait until they were grown? Would you then refrain from marrying? No, my daughters, it has been far more bitter for me than for you, because the hand of the Lord has turned against me."
Then continuing on with verse 14 and following, "Then they wept aloud again. Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clung to her. So she said, 'See, your sister-in-law has gone back to her people and to her gods. Return after your sister-in-law.' But Ruth said, 'Do not press me to leave you or to turn back from following you. Where you go, I will go. Where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die. There I will be buried. May the Lord do thus and so to me, and more as well, if even death parts me from you.' When Naomi saw that she was determined to go with her, she said no more to her. So the two of them went on until they came to Bethlehem. When they came to Bethlehem, the whole town was stirred because of them, and the women said, 'Is this Naomi?' She said to them, 'Call me no longer Naomi, call me Mara, for the Almighty has dealt bitterly with me. I went away full, but the Lord has brought me back empty. Why call me Naomi when the Lord has dealt harshly with me, and the Almighty has brought calamity upon me?' So Naomi returned together with Ruth the Moabite, her daughter-in-law, who came back with her from the country of Moab. They came to Bethlehem at the beginning of the barley harvest." Thus ends the reading of God's holy word. It is food and strength for our souls that so much always need to hear what God has to say. We are continuing in our series of messages with the theme, Moments That Define Us. And so far we've journeyed into two defining moments in the book of Genesis. And if you happen to have missed those messages, and I know that you're all trying to keep up with the messages, if you do miss one, you can go to our website, www.stjohnsucc.newport.org, and you can listen to those sermons that are there. Noah's defining moment from our first message came when, prior to the repopulation of the earth, he built an altar to God so that Noah could say, "Thank you, God." And that was a defining moment for him. Then if we fast forward to Genesis 45, where we discovered that the moment that defined Joseph was when he took away the power of his family's secrets by revealing his identity to his brothers. And that was very important because they had amassed and accumulated a whole storehouse of secrets over the years. And so Joseph breaks that open as he reveals his identity there in Egypt to his brothers. Today, for Mother's Day, we're going to leave now the book of Genesis, and we find ourselves in the book of Ruth. And this narrative that you've heard this morning, that Sue and I shared with you, is probably approximately 3,000 years old. And from this book, we like to tell Ruth's story, the daughter-in-law's story, especially where she says, "Where you go, I will go. And where you stay, I will stay, Naomi. Your people there in Judah, they will be my people, and your God will be my God." Now, Ruth's story is a beautiful and moving story of fidelity and courage. But this morning, I don't want to tell you Ruth's story. Rather, I want to share with you her mother-in-law's, Naomi's story. For in her story, we can hear a moment that defined her and her life. Let's pray together. Gracious God, we thank you for those moments in life, those moments of faith that define us. We pray that you would continually call to us and be involved in our lives in those intersecting moments where your face is seen. And because we feel the touch of your hand or sense your spirit, we know that our lives will be unequivocally different. So help us, Lord, to make a difference as we are a different people. Help us to learn, Lord, today from Naomi and how it is that you gave her a defining moment as you desire to give all of your children moments that define us. Help us, Lord God, as we hear this message this morning, not only to comprehend and prehend it with our hearts, but also to take on board, Lord, what is shared here with our minds, that we might turn our love for you into deeds of action. These things we pray and ask in the precious name of Jesus, our friend and Savior. Amen. Now, Naomi did not have an easy paper round. Just like the story of Joseph's brothers in Genesis 45, Naomi, her husband Elimelech, and her two sons were on the move to find food because there was none to be found there in Judah, their home country. It was, yet again, another famine. Isn't it good to know that the hardships of life do not thwart the purposes of God? There they were, a famine in the land, and yet again, the purposes of God carry on. Instead of traveling south to Egypt as Joseph's brothers do, Naomi and her family travel east into pagan Moab, today what is the country of Jordan, give or take the boundaries and the geographical settings. And while there in pagan Moab, her two sons marry two pagan girls called Orpah and Ruth. Now, you've heard the saying, you never lose a daughter, you only gain a son, right? Have you heard that saying? Well, this would be the same truism, but in reverse, because Naomi was gaining two daughters that were going to become a part of her family. But while they are in Moab there, all the men die. Naomi's husband, Elimelech, and her two sons, Orpah and Ruth's husbands, they pass away. Well, it's a good thing that Naomi didn't own a computer, or she might have received this message. Listen closely. A couple from North Oklahoma decided to go to Florida for a very long weekend to thaw out one particularly icy winter. Because they both had jobs, They had difficulty coordinating their travel schedules, and so it was decided that the husband would go on ahead. He would fly to Florida first on the Thursday, and his wife, so that she could finish up some of her work, she would fly down the very next day on the Friday. And upon arriving as planned, the husband checked into the hotel, and he decided to open his laptop and send his wife an email back there in North Oklahoma. However, he accidentally left off one letter in her email address, and he sent the email without realizing the error. In Houston, Texas now, a widow had just returned from her husband's funeral. He was a pastor of many years who had been called home to glory. And so this widow was checking her email after the funeral, after her husband's passing, expecting to read messages from relatives and friends. And upon reading the first message, she fainted and she fell to the floor. And the widow's son rushed into the room, found his mother on the floor, and saw the computer screen which read, "To my loving wife, from your departed husband, subject, I've arrived. Message, I've just arrived and checked in. I see that everything has been prepared for your arrival tomorrow. I am looking forward to seeing you then. Hope your journey is as uneventful as mine was. P.S. Sure is hot down here." Yeah, that would lay anybody out, I think, for sure. Let me bring you back into the book of Ruth. In the book of Ruth, Elimelech dies and Naomi's two sons die. And so it's just the girls that are left. Three widows in one fell swoop. Not a good situation for them. For in the Bible, widows are always particularly vulnerable. And the same might also be said today. And so, manless, this woman Naomi, who was once a mother, is no more. But even in the midst of her grief, Naomi, she gets a game plan going. Naomi heard that the Lord was blessing her own home country of Judah again with food. So her plan was to return to Judah and to her extended family there. You heard the text in Bethlehem. But Naomi saw no value in dragging her two recently widowed daughter-in-laws away from their own home country and breaking the attachment to their own kin in the country of Moab. In her plan, she felt that Orpah and Ruth would stand a better chance of finding new husbands in their own native land, there in Moab, than in accompanying her back to Judah with what would be for them. Judah would be a foreign land. But even though Naomi purposes this plan, there are thick emotions between these three women. Take note of that. The text says in verse 9, "Then she kissed them goodbye, and they wept aloud." And so the moment that defined Naomi was when she was willing to let her daughters go. A defining moment. Thus, the defining trait of Naomi's motherhood was the courage to be self-sacrificial and to think more about her girls and their needs, what they needed to have in their life, than her own. She really had no idea that Orpah and Ruth would react the way that they did with so many tears, but obviously there was a very strong emotional bond between these three women that cannot be minimized or missed. And whoever said that the Bible isn't relevant. The ability to be self-sacrificial then is a trait of Christian motherhood. We might call this finding the strength to let go. Everyone say that with me. I'm letting go. Say, I'm letting go. Yes. In a piece that Irma Bombeck wrote, I think you'd probably have to be at least maybe 40 or older to know who Irma Bombeck is, but in a piece that she wrote, which is entitled, "I Loved You Enough," she writes these words, "You don't love me. How many times have your kids laid that one on you? Someday, she writes, when my children are old enough to understand the logic that motivates a mother, I'll tell them, I loved you enough to bug you about where you were going and what time you were going to be home. I loved you enough to let you discover that your friend was really a creep. I loved you enough to stand over you for 2 hours watching you clean your room when I could have done it in 15 minutes. Praise the Lord. I loved you enough to ignore what every other mother did or said about you. I loved you enough to let you stumble, fall, hurt, and fail. I loved you enough to accept you for what you are, not what I wanted you to be. Most of all, I loved you enough to say no when you hated me for it. Some mothers don't know when their job is finished. They figure the longer the kids hang around, the better that the parents are, writes Irma Bombeck. I see children as kites, she says. You spend a lifetime trying to get them, lift them up off the ground. You run with them until you're both breathless. They crash. You add a longer tail. You patch and comfort. You adjust and teach and assure them that, yep, someday you're going to fly. And finally they are airborne, but they need more string, and you keep letting it out. With each twist of the ball of twine, the kite becomes more distant. You know it won't be long before that beautiful creature, your child, will snap the lifeline that bound you together and soar free and alone. Only then will you know that you have done your job. Sometimes, in order for life to move on, sometimes, in order for new chapters to be written, we must let go. And that's what Naomi was doing. That's what she was doing. And I'm glad that she didn't do it with, you know, the proverbial stiff upper lip. I rejoice that she blathered and cried aloud and that she was reaching for the box of Kleenex. I'm glad that she let the truth of her feelings out, as Joseph did before her, as we recall. Maybe she read the story of Joseph and knew that it was an okay part of our faith to cry during those moments that define us. Well, I can remember the day that my mother cried. I was 22 years old. I had just finished college, and I had an offer to move in with my brother in his third floor apartment in downtown Rochester. And I thought, this is my chance. I'm getting out, you know? And so I got one of those U-Haul trailers, packed it all up with like 2 bedrooms worth of furniture, you know, pulled the U-Haul truck into the front yard, and the day came. And it was the day to say goodbye. And I can remember saying my goodbyes there at the front door to Mom and Dad and trying to step out the front door, and she was kind of hanging on to me, you know, and kind of pulling me back. And she broke down into tears, and she said, don't go. Don't go. And when you're young, you can never fully appreciate the impact that saying goodbye can have upon your parents or your loved ones. When you're younger, you don't appreciate it, do you? But now, as I'm rounding the corner on the other side of life, I can well and truly appreciate how hard it is to let go and to say goodbye to everything and to everyone that you have loved and held so dear. Ain't life something? But Naomi was letting go because, you know what? She needed a new future. To have remained in Moab a widow with her 2 young widow daughter-in-laws would have quickly turned into something very yucky and unhealthy, you know. Yes, they would have had each other, but in Naomi's estimation, that just wasn't good enough. 3 widows kind of sitting around together, taking up space, wondering how they were going to scrape by. Naomi knew in her heart that was not going to work. And so what Naomi recognized is this: sometimes freedom is better than allegiance. Freedom's better than allegiance. Sometimes people must be free to chase their own dreams, turn the page and begin a new time in their life on their own terms. And wise is the mother like Naomi that recognizes this and says, it's okay for us to go our separate ways now in this moment. I can remember when after my grandfather, Henry, passed away. And I love my grandfather. I was very, very close to my grandfather for lots and lots of reasons that I won't take the time to share here. And after my grandfather passed away, it was a couple of years went by. And there in the Altenheim, because my grandfather and grandmother were Swiss, and the Altenheim is the old people's home. There in the Altenheim, my grandmother had met Max. Max. After 2 years, after my grandfather passed. And at first I couldn't understand this, you know. No one could ever replace my grandfather, I thought to myself. But in retrospect, Grandma wasn't looking to replace Grandpa. She was just moving forward into a new chapter in her life, and she was asking us all to accept this new beginning that she was making. That's all that she was asking. Sometimes freedom is not only needed, it is necessary. Sometimes freedom is better than allegiance, especially if the object of that allegiance is now gone. Gone. Turn the page. Now, Naomi could have been selfish. She could have done the opposite to what she did. She could have layered on the guilt like thick molasses. Look at us. Poor pity us. Three defenseless widows. We had better stay together. After all, there's strength in numbers, you know. And Orpah and Ruth would have dutifully stayed because they loved their mother-in-law so very dearly, so very, very much. Sometimes freedom is better than allegiance. And so the moment that defined Naomi was really two things wrapped together into one moment. It was not only the release and the letting go of her two precious girls that she loved so very much, but it was also her commitment to chase God's blessing. I want to add that in there. For what was happening in Judah, where there was grain to eat, was nothing short of the outpouring of the blessing of God back upon Judah. In fact, that's what the text says. Wise is the mother that moves in the direction of God's blessings. Allow me to frame this up for you in a different way. It's not just about letting go, although that occupies a very, very important place. It's about asking God, what's next? What's next? You see, mothers, your children will grow up and they will leave. But this is not the end, as it was not for Naomi. She asked that defining question of herself that most people, having gone through change and grief and loss, struggle to ask: what's next? Her strength to ask what's next was as much a defining moment for her as was her courage and self-sacrifice to let her girls go. You guys go. Mothers, don't forget to ask what's next. Not what's next in terms of your list of things to do, because I know that mothers always have a very long list of things to do. Can I get an amen this morning? Amen. Their mothers have a long list, I'm telling you, you know. I mean what's next in terms of chasing after the blessings, mothers, of God in your life. Never feel like you have to turn back from that. We will love you, mothers, no less if you do. Church of Jesus Christ, family of faith, don't forget to ask, what's next? There are, my friends, too many churches that have stayed too long in Moab. When the blessings are being poured out next door. As it turned out, And Ruth is only four chapters long. You know, you probably could have read this on your smartphone driving in your car. Oh, no, you don't use your smartphone and drive in your car. I didn't say that. You can take that off the recording. Four chapters in the book of Ruth. Ruth went along with Naomi to Judah. You see, she couldn't leave her mother-in-law's side, and that's what she's remembered for. And because she did, because she went along with her mother-in-law, Naomi, she bears Obed with Boaz, who's a great property owner there in Bethlehem, and he's got lots and lots of fields, and Obed falls for Ruth, and they have Obed as their child. And Obed is significant because he becomes the grandfather of King David, from whom the everlasting kingdom of the Messiah is promised. Noah had built his altar. He built it. And if he had not built it, there never would have been a rainbow. Had Joseph not revealed his true identity, Israel would have withered away and starved up there in the promised land. But God did not let his people starve. He brought them down to Egypt, and there they had provision. The people of God had provision. Had Naomi not had the strength to chase after God's blessing and to ask God what's next, then Ruth never would have met Boaz as her husband. And had she not, had she contented herself to remain in Moab, then Messiah never would have come. So what's next, Mom? No matter what your age, young mom, middle-aged mom, older mom, what's next? Where will you go as you, like Naomi, chase after God's dream and His infinite blessing? Where? Amen.